Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. J.D. Walt here. It is Sunday, November the 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. And it being Sunday, let's just call it a pre-game warm-up, a pre-practice warm-up. I call Sunday morning church practice. So we're just stretching here today. We're in John's Gospel. I want to welcome new subscribers to us, who may be with us here for a few days to see if they're dipping their toe in the water. We're hoping you'll stick around for the whole of John's Gospel. It's going to be a party. Well, let's dive right in to today's entry. Let's begin with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Where the Wine Never Runs Out. We're reading John chapter 2 today. We're focusing in on verses 7 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. No one had any idea the bridegroom had come to this wedding, the bridegroom. In fact, it has me wondering, what if he comes in secret to every wedding? Would we recognize him? Is it even in our minds to look for him? I once saw a giant billboard that was solid black with white letters that said, Loved the wedding. Invite me to the marriage. Jesus. Seems apropos to mention. Let's gospel a little bit here. Let's go gospeling through this second chapter. I want you to give me a few speculations on this mysterious story. Number one, do you remember how this story began? Here it is. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Might this be a foreshadowing of the last and greatest sign of the gospel? You can fill in the blank. On the third day. Yes, indeed. He arose from the dead. Number two, the next thing we're told is this. Jesus' mother was there. It's verse 1b. There's only one other place in John's gospel where we see Mary at the cross. Could this entire opening story be mysteriously foreshadowing the closing story? Point number three. Now to this curious word from Jesus back to his mother. He said, Woman. Remember, she came to him and said, They've run out of wine. Do something. And he said, Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. What is Jesus' hour? As Jesus was riding into Jerusalem for the last time, the next to the last time, he said this, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Could that be another pointer from the first sign to the last? Point number four. Then there's the matter of the water and the wine. Go with me again to the cross. One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Water and wine. Point, gospeling point number five. Now to this word from the Mater Dei. Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now for last. And number six, finally to the wine. Did you pick up just how much wine Jesus miraculously made? The text tells us 6 stone jars, each containing between 20 and 30 gallons. Now let's average that at 25 gallons apiece and do the math. 6 times 25, I get 150 gallons of wine. Now to give us an idea of how much that is, the standard bottle of wine contains 25 ounces. That means it takes 5 bottles of wine to make 1 gallon. And that comes to 750 bottles of the choicest wine for these already inebriated guests at this small town wedding. Take a look at the wine section the next time you're in the grocery store. That's how much wine we're talking about. Yeah, the whole section. Why so much? Could it be a sign pointing to the endless superabundance of everlasting life freely given to us in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the new wine. You remember on the day of Pentecost? When they said, these guys have had, they've been drinking. They accused them of being inebriated. And you remember what Peter said? He's like, guys, it's only 9 a.m. As if to say, we don't start drinking in the morning around here. Wow. Well, that's where we're headed, friends. Abundant life in this gospel. Living water. Bread with no expiration date. Fruitful branches. And more. Between this first sign and the last sign, we're going to behold Jesus like never before. Prepare yourselves. This is not abundance as a magnification of whatever we tend to think of as a lot. This is abundance of another order of magnitude. Let's pray. Abba, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is abundant life and who gives us abundant life by giving us himself. Thank you that by your Spirit, Jesus will make us this kind of abundance, this abundant gift to others. We want that. In Jesus' name, amen. Our journal prompts today, what about your own notion of abundance must diminish in order for you to begin to grasp the kind of abundance Jesus offers? And what do you make of all these allusions from the first sign to the last in this second chapter of John? How does that impact you? How does it make you want to read more deeply? Well, I'm going to hand it over now to my favorite worship leader. Okay, we had my dear friend, our friend Chris Tomlin yesterday, but we're going back to Dad today. The farmer is going to be with us. My dad is going to help us sing a great hymn of the church in celebration of this great text today, and it'll get us ready to go to worship at church today. Hey, yeah, we'll just hand it over here. All right, everybody. It is it's Sunday, so we're warming up for church today. And we're going to sing a great song in celebration. You know, today in the wake-up call, we've walked through John chapter 2, which is, of course, the famous story of the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And we're going to sing, it's just a joyful occasion. Jesus' very first miracle he performed at that wedding. You remember what he did?
He turned the water into wine.
Indeed, he did. He turned, and not just a little bit of wine.
Huh.
Gosh, it was a lot of wine. And it wasn't even just wine, it was the very best wine.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't a cheap wine.
And you know what? He didn't even need grapes.
Uh-uh.
Straight from water. That's Jesus. That's what he can do in our lives.
Jesus, if he can do that, he can turn a sinner into a
saint.
A saint. Amen.
That's exactly what that story's about. Okay, what are we singing today?
We're singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
All right. What's the number? Hymn number?
Number 8.
Number 8 in our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to sing all 4 verses. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain cause us to rejoice in thee. Number 3. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. All right, we're going to do number 4. We're going to take it up a notch.
Mortals, join the mighty chorus, which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. All right.
You know what, that's what joy is? It's when everything else is going bad, God is good.
Amen.
That's joy. You ever feel like everything's going bad in your life?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're struggling, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just you don't know where to turn.
And that's what I love about that last verse. Ever singing, march we onward. What does it say?
Victors
in the midst of strife. In the midst of strife. Victors in the midst of strife. I know a lot of people who just sang that with us. That describes you. You're in the midst of strife. And life is hard. And it's very challenging. And you don't see solutions. But God
is the solution.
Is the solution. He's like, I'm here. I'm with you. You know what? This may take a while. In fact, we may not get out of it. In fact, you know, none of us are getting out of here alive. But he's like, I'm standing on the other side. And I'm going to win. And you, believing in me, you're going to win too.
You're going to win.
Even if you lose, you're going to win. That's why we sing a song like that. That's what joy is. In the midst of the most difficult life situation, God is already won.
He's with us.
He's with us. So we're going to be going to church today. If you don't have a church, I'd love you to join us in Gillette. We got members all over the world who are worshiping with us on Sundays. Just go to YouTube, search for Gillette Methodist Church. That's just G-I-L-L-E-T-T. Dad said last week, Jesus struggles to find Gillette, but he'll help you because he knows where we are now. And G-I-L-L-E-T-T Methodist Church on YouTube, you just come on. And I look forward to seeing you there. And today, we're going to say for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you at the house.
Amen.